a woman with massy blonde hair.
I'm going to say our mantra. This is the voice I want to use over and over again, but with different inflections. And I want you to try to mimic what I'm doing. This is the voice I want to use. This is the voice I want to use.
Transamerica.
What we're going to do is press down on our tongue and just sort of watch what's happening in the back of our mouths. Ready?
A mirror in one hand, she presses her tongue down with a finger. Her actions are being imitated. Bree, the imitator, switches off the television and video. Bree pulls on a white stocking and snuggles into a body stocking. She places a silicone pad into her bra, then adjusts her boobs. She sticks a hand down the front of the body stocking to her crotch, then puts on a skirt and hauls a sweater over her head. She picks up a pastel pink jacket and slips her arm into the sleeve. Her long pink fingernails are beautifully manicured. She puts a copy of Civilization's Black Africa in her bag. Bree opens a powder compact and dabs in a brush. She paints her nails and brushes her long, dark brown hair. She dusts her high-boned cheeks and stares at herself on a dressing table mirror before applying lipstick. Her eyes are heavy, her face thin. She lays down the lipstick and breathes out. Bree looks at herself, a thoughtful expression on her face, then she smiles. She walks out of a small one-story house, a pink floppy hat on her head, and steps daintily through her neighborhood.
Any suicidal tendencies?
No.
Have you ever felt as though you were being followed?
No.
Any history of family mental illness?
No.
Medical procedures to date?
The usual electrolysis, 3 years of hormone therapy, facial feminization surgery, brow lift, forehead reduction, jaw recontouring, and a tracheal shave.
You look very authentic.
I try to blend in, keep a low profile. I believe the slang terminology is living stealth.
Do you consider yourself a happy person?
Yes.
Breeze with a psychiatrist.
I mean, no. I mean, I will be.
Miss Osborne, there's no such thing as a right answer in this office.
Yes, I'm a very happy person.
How can I help you if you won't be honest with me?
You can sign that consent form, please.
The American Psychiatric Association categorizes gender dysphoria as a very serious mental disorder.
Bree raises her eyebrows and purses her lips.
After my operation, not even a gynecologist will be able to detect anything out of the ordinary about my body. I will be a woman. Don't you find it odd that plastic surgery can cure a mental disorder?
How do you feel about your penis?
The fixed smile on Bree's face disappears.
It disgusts me. I don't even like looking at it.
What about friends?
They don't like it either.
No. I mean, do you have the support of friends?
I'm very close to my therapist.
What about your family?
My family is dead.
Night. Bree's back in her small house.
You take some hormones and I'll take some hormones. I'll be woman before.
In a long silk nightdress, she stands in front of a mirror.
When's got shit?
A reflection of a crotch.
Darn it. Darn it.
Bree tucks her penis between her legs.
Good night, Bree. Sleep tight, Bree.
Bree straightens a picture on her pink breeze block wall.
Maldito cabaret.
Day, Pappy's kitchen, a neighborhood Mexican restaurant. A buxom, dark-haired waitress brings plates through to the kitchen where Bree, wearing manacles, is the washer-up. Bree sees the two male chefs glancing admiringly at the waitress's rear. Bree at the sink wiggles her butt, then plunges her hands into the hot water.
This is the voice.
Bree's at home, phone in hand.
This is the voice. Hello, may I please speak to Mr. or Mrs. Bhumibol Neeropatanasanai? Mrs. Neeropatanasanai, this is Bree Osborne calling with a special introductory offer from the National Home Shopping... Hello?
Bree scores a line through a sheet of paper on her knees.
Hello?
She listens to the caller.
Stanley Shupak doesn't live here anymore. Who's calling?
She scribbles on the paper, then raises her head.
Stanley doesn't have a son. You must have the wrong number.
Bree continues to listen, her face taut.
How old are you?
Her eyes unblinking, she holds the phone stiffly.
Why don't you call your mother?
Bree takes the cordless phone from her ear and stares at it. She disconnects the caller. She looks at her sheet of paper.
Hello. May I please speak to Mr. Jamal Nyang? Mr. Nyang, it's Bree Osborne calling from the National Home Shopping Club with a special introductory rate of only $19.90. Hello.
Another day.
He signed it.
I am so proud of you. Two signatures. I hereby pronounce you officially legal to undergo sexual reassignment surgery.
Thank you.
Bree smiles primly and steps daintily across the room.
Thank you.
So, what else is new?
I made my sales quota for the month on Tuesday. That pink lambswool cardigan that I ordered arrived. Oh, and this is odd. I got a phone call last night from a juvenile inmate of the New York prison system. He claimed to be Stanley's son.
No third person.
My son.
I thought you told me that you were a virgin.
There was this one girl at college, but the whole thing was so tragically lesbian that I didn't think it counted.
Well, a son.
An alleged son. He's probably just some sort of scam artist.
What is he scamming you for?
Well, I guess we'll never know. Nothing is going to stop me from checking into that hospital next week. I'm not going to get dragged back into Stanley's old life.
Stanley's life is your life. Why didn't you get in touch with the mother?
She's dead. Anyway, he's practically 18. He's old enough to take care of himself.
Bree, this is a part of your body that cannot be discarded. I don't want you to go through this metamorphosis, only to find out you're still incomplete.
Bree doesn't look at Margaret, her therapist.
What if I visit him later, after my surgery, after I've settled into my new life?
When you're ready.
What are you doing?
I can't give this to your surgeon right now.
Yes, you can. Margaret, I can't miss my surgery on Friday. They're booked up a year in advance.
I'll wire bail money to New York. I'll call a social worker and have someone check in on him. What do you want me to do?
Bree, honey, I just want you to be ready.
Bree fights back tears as she storms out of the Center for Psychological Well-being. She strides away. Palm trees are silhouetted against a red sky. Bree stands in her living room listening to a record on a turntable. She places her fingers on the record. She listens, then lifts her hand and turns away. She sits down and picks up her telephone.
Hello. May I please have the number of the New York City downtown lockup?
New York's Louis J. Lefkowitz State Office Building with an imposing white stone facade. In a calf-length lilac two-piece, Bree climbs the steps, passing a caretaker sweeping them. In an office, she's with a uniformed sergeant.
Mr. Shupak.
Ms. Shupak. I mean, Ms. Osborne. I changed it.
Can I ask what your relationship is to the prisoner?
Allegedly, I'm his
Allegedly, he's my son.
This is a new one. According to this, he shoplifted a frog. Plus, we have testimony that he was in possession of a small amount of a suspicious-looking white powder, although emergency services was unable to recover the evidence.
Drugs? Is he an addict?
Most of them are.
Most of whom are?
Are you aware that your son's been hustling on the streets working as a prostitute?
How much is the bail?
Bail set at $1.
I can't possibly afford $1?
She applies powder from a compact.
Sabrina Claire Osborne?
She turns and stares.
Meet Toby Wilkins.
Toby is tall, with sallow skin, high cheekbones, and floppy dark hair.
My friends call me Bree.
Toby looks down.
Jesus the Reformer?
It's one of these churches that sends missionaries out to guide street people back to God.
No. I'm from the Church of the Potential Father.
She grins. Toby and Bree sit in a window seat in a diner. They have food in front of them. Bree squeezes lemon into a glass of water. Toby, opposite, has his hands clasped together. He glances up at her as she sips her drink.
Oh, yes.
She clasps her hands together, then sneaks a look at him.
Dear God, bless this food and bless this restaurant and all the people in it and everyone else. Everywhere.
Toby's hands are still clasped together.
Sic transit gloria mundi in excelsis Deo. Amen.
Do you have any perks? Vicodin, anything with codeine?
Sorry, I'm all out. So why don't you tell me something about yourself?
I'm not naming any names.
I said about yourself. Is Toby short for something? A diminutive?
No, it's American.
Where do you come from?
Calicoon.
Where's Calicoon?
In Kentucky, duh.
Is that where your family is?
My mother's dead. She had a stroke.
Bree holds her coffee cup up and looks around the restaurant.
Is there anyone else?
I had a stepfather.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Me and him don't get along.
Why not?
TMI. Too much information.
What about grandparents? Aunts? Uncles?
I don't need any family. I can take care of myself. I'm a loner.
That's wonderful. That's the spirit.
He eats his French fries. The dining over, Bree opens her purse and counts out money.
I've been meaning to thank you for bailing me out.
You're welcome.
I decided in jail I'm going to give up hustling. It's degradable.
Degrading.
They're in Toby's filthy room.
How many people inhabit this place?
Three. Dude, by the way, I was just holding those drugs for a friend. I'm not stupid. Junkies just live for the day. No ambition or anything.
You have ambition?
Yeah. Gonna get a career in the movies.
Standing in the doorway, Bree unzips her shoulder bag and takes a purse from inside it.
10, 20, 40.
Toby sits on his bed and flicks a strand of hair behind his ear.
60, 80, 100. Here.
She walks over to him. He's packing a bag.
Will that hold you for a while?
Yeah. Dude, this is great.
Wish you would stop calling me dude. Well, I best be on my way. Got a flight to Los Angeles first thing in the morning.
Maybe I'll see you out there. That's where they make the movies, right? Just gonna hitchhike out there like maybe, I don't know, tomorrow.
You can't. You don't want to add Jumping Gale to your permanent record.
I'll change my street name. Something like Stanley. Stan. Stan the man. It's my dad's name. There's this picture.
Bree stares at a photo of her younger self.
He's with my mom.
Bree turns away from the photo of her as a young man and sits down ungainly on another bed.
You okay?
I'm a little dizzy.
Beverly Hills is close to the ocean, right? Maybe I'll learn how to surf, dye my hair blonde for the movies. They love blondes there. I mean, blonde and blonde, stocks and blondes, bodacious blonde bottoms. Not that I'm a bottom or anything.
Are you talking about pornographic films?
Duh.
Is there a ladies' room in this establishment?
Bree knocks on a door marked toilet. She opens it and recoils on seeing the shit-covered lavatory pan.
Oh,
In L.A., Margaret answers her phone.
Hello.
Margaret.
It's Bree. I'm in New York. It turns out this whole jail episode was just a big mistake.
Talk to me.
He's a thoroughly independent young man. We're getting along famously. He's going to come visit me after my surgery, and I promised to take him to Disneyland.
I see.
So I thought I'd take an early flight back tomorrow. Get back to work, recoup some of the money I spent on this trip before my surgery next week.
How are you?
Right now...
Oh, I'm a little disappointed because you're lying to me.
Is there anything
else you'd like to say?
There appears to be a stepfather.
Perhaps I can effect a reunion.
Have you ever heard of a place called Calicoon?
Toby is stuffing the cash into a book when Bree gingerly pushes the door open. He looks up and she affects a smile.
I just conferred with my immediate superior at the church. It seems she feels that getting you away from this unwholesome environment is my moral duty.
Free ride, free food, free motel rooms, all the way to L.A.
Uh-huh. Nothing's free. You're gonna end up marrying her and spending the rest of your life eating out cobwebby old stank Christian pussy. Hey, something for the road, my man? The finest Tecate?
Fuck no, man, I'm giving that shit up.
Come on, it's only $5 a bag over street price.
Convenience charge.
We can take it out of your cut if she buys the car.
Fuck you, dude.
All right. Whatever. You're the man.
No. Wait. Hey. Yeah.
Toby takes the drugs from his friend Alex and gets out of the station wagon.
I'm not marrying you.
Glory hallelujah.
Almost new fan belt. I changed the oil a couple of months ago. Only 230,000 miles. Just needs a little paint, that's all. It runs perfect.
Guaranteed.
I've already arranged a rental.
But with this one, when you get to California, you could resell and make a profit.
A profit?
Bree drives the station wagon.
Fasten your seatbelt.
I don't like wearing them.
Well, I don't like the idea of seeing your internal organs splattered all over the dashboard in case we get in a wreck, God forbid, so put it on.
See this shirt? Only cost me $2.
Kel Surprise.
These shoes? $3, $1.50 each. You know how much these things are worth in Japan?
$3?
Like $500. Japanese people will kill for old Nikes.
Then you probably should avoid wearing them in Japan.
Yeah, I'd probably be like disemboweled by a ninja.
You don't have to say like. Probably disemboweled by a ninja is sufficient. And please don't put your feet up on the dashboard.
Toby sticks a cigarette in his mouth.
No smoking in the car. I thought instead of going west on Route 95, we'd wind through the mountains on Route 20. Route 20 takes us close to Calicoon.
I don't want to go there.
Toby leans forward and turns on the radio. Bree switches it off. Toby turns and stares at her. At a gas station...
What I find absolutely beyond comprehension is how a person can perform all those intimate acts with just any stranger off the street.
Why should you give a shit?
Because it's the Christian thing to do. How much money did you make per assignation?
$40 or $50? Are we gonna be going through Texas?
It's a pretty hard state to avoid.
How much your biker pulls up?
Do you have any money for some food?
Bree stares at Toby over the roof of the car and hands him the squeegee mop she's been using on the driver's window. Sour-faced, he takes it from her. Bree is standing by the car in the sunshine as Toby walks out of the gas station shop after stashing money into his book. The station wagon makes its way along a straight country road as the sun goes down. It's dark when they pull into a motel car park. Toby places a toy action figure on a bed head in the room. He hears Bree come out of the bathroom and lies back on the bed wearing only his briefs. He has an arm behind his head and his hand on his flat stomach.
Oh. I'm sorry I can't offer you a private room. The church has to conserve its resources. I've charted us a course on the nice little red roads. Calicoon is only about 45 minutes out of our way.
I don't want to go there. They're nice beds.
Don't you have any pajamas?
No.
Well, you should get some.
A towel draped over her shoulders in silk nightdress, Bree climbs into her bed and puts on an eye mask.
Good night. Oh.
Toby rests his head on his hand and watches as she lays back in her bed. Morning.
Rise and shine. Up, up, up. We've got a schedule to keep.
Bree is up and dressed. Toby wakes.
Did I put on too much blush?
You're weird.
Toby rises, scratches his backside, and walks into the bathroom. Bree goes to a mirror, feels her boobs, then her stomach. Out on the road.
First place I lived, this like hole in the wall off Avenue C. I like four roommates. One was a junkie, one was a crackhead, one was like a junkie, and the other one was, well, like a junkie.
Like.
Toby plays with a feather he's been chewing.
Did you know the Lord of the Rings is gay?
I beg your pardon?
There's this big black tower, right? And it points right at this huge burning vagina thing, and it's like the symbol of ultimate evil. And then Sam and Frodo have to go into this cave and deposit their magic ring into this hot steaming lava pit, only at the last minute Frodo can't perform, so Gollum bites off his finger. Gay.
Bree glances briefly at Toby. Later he's asleep on the back seat.
Take him away, take him away, Lord, take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free.
Seeing he's sleeping, Bree takes a right off the main road and drives across a bridge. They enter a town with God Bless America, Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, emblazoned on a wall. Bree drives slowly through the town, then moves off the road to park. As she does so, Toby wakes and sees her staring at him.
Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me.
What the fuck are you looking at?
I just didn't think it was right to come so close to Calicoon without at least passing through.
Toby!
He clambers out. She changes the column gear and reverses.
Where are you going?
An old woman spots him.
You are acting like a spoiled child. Oh, my God, I can't believe my eyes. It's my sweet little angel baby.
Take away these chains.
The old woman, Arletty, hugs Toby. The station wagon follows Arletty's car to a cabin.
Just give me another hug. Oh, I could wring your neck like a chicken. My favorite boy. And all this time, not even a phone call to let me know if you're alive or dead.
I was never your favorite.
That's what you think. I used to look at him out that window, playing all day with that big dog.
Toby live near here?
Just two doors up the road. So, what you been doing with yourself? I want to know everything.
Toby, sipping lemonade, turns to Bree.
He's been in New York, working toward developing a career in the film industry.
I'm going to California.
California? He always was the artistic type. He used to have this precious stuffed monkey he carried around with him everywhere, even to school. Are you in the movie business, too?
She's a missionary with the church.
Praise the Lord! I'm an electrologist myself. Oh. If you want, I can get those couple of little hairs up under your nose for you and nothing flat.
Bree covers her nose. Later.
My boss laid down the salon. She used to work out in California. From what I hear, some of them Hollywood beauties used to be hairy as hogs. Yeah, that ought to keep them from sticking their heads up again.
Thank you.
You ought to go on over and say hello to your stepdaddy.
I don't want to see him.
Of course you do. The man raised you. Clothed you, fed you, sheltered you from harm. He's your father, for all practical purposes.
He always was a sensitive thing. You gonna gonna drive him all the way to California.
I have to get some air, excuse me, and thank you.
Bree gets up and walks away. The sun sets on a lake. Bree's at Toby's stepfather's house.
Yeah?
Good evening. Do you perchance know a Toby Wilkins?
Who's asking?
I am a bearer of glad tidings. Your son has come home.
Toby's with Arletty.
Good.
Toby, Arletty, I brought back a surprise. Come on in.
Toby rises as a bearded, weasel-faced man enters.
Look who's here.
If you can't bring Mohammed to the mountain, bring the mountain to Mohammed.
Wow, look how much you've grown.
Toby, give your father a hug.
I was worried sick about you. Why'd you run off like that? You know I missed you.
Isn't this sweet?
Mm-hmm. I know what you meant. You miss my mouth. You miss my ass.
Well, you hush now. What are these ladies going to think?
I'll fuck me right here in front of them.
You shut up!
The man, Bobby, punches Toby.
Was that good for you? Come on, Bobby. Yeah, you liked it. You liked it in the garage.
Shut up!
His stepfather punches and kicks him.
Oh, come on.
Arletty picks up Bree's pink vanity case and clatters Bobby over the head.
Bobby? Honey?
His eyes wide, Toby leans over his unconscious stepfather, then back against the wall. He runs out. Arletty turns to Bree, whose hand covers her mouth. Bree and Arletty carry Bobby to his porch.
Heavy was in. Let's put him in that chair there.
They drop him onto a garden chair.
Oh. I don't know you, Bobby Jensen. Come to you in a couple of hours.
Arletty waddles off. Hearing noises from Bobby's garage, Bree saunters over to it. Toby is rummaging through a cardboard box. Bree stands and watches.
This isn't my fault.
He ignores her.
You never told me why you didn't want to come home.
He glares at Bree. Toby finds a sleeping bag in a box.
Where are you going?
Toby grabs the sleeping bag and a lamp, then strides past Bree. Crestfallen, she looks around the clutter in the garage, then spots something. She walks over to a box and picks up a cuddly monkey. Morning. Toby lies in the sleeping bag in the woods. A Letty carrying a tray kneels beside him.
Brought you some breakfast.
Toby eases himself up onto his arm. Back at the cabin, Bree is sitting leaning on her vanity case, her eyes wide open, staring into space.
He's walking down to the highway ramp to hitchhike himself a ride. He's a disappearing act, all right. It's the same thing he did after his mama killed herself.
She what?
Mm-hmm. Shut herself up in the garage with the car on. Toby found her there when he come home from school.
Oh, God.
Toby, the sleeping bag slung over his shoulder, smooches down the tree-lined, sun-dappled road. He looks round as the station wagon drives up. Bree cruises along beside him. She slows to a stop, and he climbs in. Wearing her large-framed sunglasses, Bree turns to Toby as they drive past wheat fields.
Lovely scenery in this part of the country.
Said I'd take a ride from you. I never said I'd carry on a fucking conversation.
I was just trying to do you a favor. God knows, considering the way you've been living your life, it wasn't unreasonable to try to put you under some sort of parental supervision. What's that? Is that drugs? Oh, no. Absolutely not.
God damn it!
No, that is not all right! You can't do that here! No!
Are you gonna let me do my thing or do I have to get out of this fucking car right now?
His fist is clenched.
Kill yourself. What does it matter to me?
Toby snorts some of the coke from the back of his hand. In a diner.
One chocolate milkshake for you, and coffee for your mother.
I'm not his mother.
Toby drinks through a straw, then leans back. Bree picks up her cup and saucer and primly walks to an adjoining booth. She sits down. Her back straight, she delicately sips her coffee while Toby slurps his milkshake and wipes the table with a napkin. There's a new moon over my shoulder. As they drive through a small town, Bree eats some chocolate. She leans over and offers some to Toby, who's lying in the back. He turns his head away. They're parked outside a log trading post, which is also a gas station. A couple of old bearded hillbillies and a young guy watch as Bree finishes filling up, steps gingerly over the hose, and sashes inside past them. Toby is sitting on the ground feeding a black dog. He gets to his feet and walks over to the car where Bree is wiping her hands.
I didn't sleep a wink last night. Let's look for a motel.
We're camping out.
Bree's shoulders droop as Toby climbs into the station wagon. Her hands clasped together, she turns, glances at the onlookers, then goes to the car. In a general store, Toby grabs a half bottle of whiskey and stuffs it down his trousers. Bree's looking at sleeping bags.
Do you have something a trifle less butch?
They're by a lake.
Fettuccine Alfredo or chicken cordon bleu?
Chicken.
She fends off flies.
Matches.
Sitting on a branch, Toby prods the water with a stick. He fetches a matchbook from his pocket. It's empty.
Fuck!
He tosses it in the lake.
Excuse me. I have to go to the ladies' room.
Bree grabs a toilet roll and teeters on her wedged espadrilles towards the wood. Toby sits with his back to her. Bree makes her way back to the lake.
Do you think there are snakes around here?
He glances at her. She beats the ground with a stick.
Get away, snake.
Get away, you snake. Get away,
snake. Toilet roll in one hand, big stick in the other, Bree squats down by some bushes and hitches up her skirt. Sunset by the lake. Toby is lounging by the lamp when Bree sits down on a vanity case beside him. Toby opens the whiskey he stole. Bree watches him take a swig.
Where'd you get that?
I had it.
What is that awful sound?
It's a loon.
Certain Native American tribes of the northern plains believed loons were ancestral spirits trying to communicate with the physical world.
My real dad's part Indian.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, he never told me, but I just know. It's an Indian thing.
Toby swigs some more whiskey.
Do you think you could find it in your heart to offer a sip of that to a lady?
She opens a pill bottle as he hands her the whiskey without looking at her.
You sick or something?
Bree glugs down the pill.
I'm fine. These are vitamins. When I was a little girl, I had a terry cloth bunny. I used to sleep with her every night. Try holding your breath. Then one day, my parents decided I was too old for her, and I never saw her again.
Toby slurps some more.
I found him in your stepfather's garage.
The cuddly monkey. Toby keels over and away from Bree and throws up.
Here.
She hands him a tissue. Toby turns over and rests his head on Bree's lap. Bree stares awkwardly at him. Bree sits upright as the young man falls asleep. Morning.
Rise and shine. Come on. Let's go. I've got to be in L.A. by the end of the week. What would you say if I told you I could set you up with a job in the telemarketing field? The nice thing about telemarketing is you can live practically any place. I could drop you off in Austin.
I'm going to California. My real dad has a mansion there with a pool.
What do you see your life like 10 years from now?
Probably get a job at a pet store. I have a dog, maybe some kids.
Kids.
I always wanted kids.
Perhaps you ought to aim for something a little higher than working in a pet store. If you like animals, you could become a veterinarian or a zoologist.
I'm out of cigarettes.
Quel dommage.
What does quel dommage mean?
It means you're not getting any cigarettes.
In a rest stop's tourist shop, Toby bobs the heads of nodding squirrels as he passes them. He removes his sunglasses to examine a baseball cap with an Indian's head as its motif. He picks it up and tries it on, tucking his floppy hair under it. A young woman sucking a lollipop watches him. He notices her. In the rest stop's cafeteria, Bree is studying the menu when she sees a little girl staring at her. The girl is at the next table and is leaning on the back of her chair, scrutinizing Bree. Bree's eyes meet the girl's.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Bree concentrates on the menu.
Turn around, stop Bob and meet me.
Bree self-consciously brings her hand to her face. On the payphone...
Margaret, thank God. I am in the middle of Arkansas, and an 8-year-old child just read me. I can't handle this. I had to camp out last night on the ground with bugs.
Bree flinches as she listens.
Because he is impossible.
I can't fritter away my savings like this. My surgery is only 5 days away.
The young woman kisses Toby.
Dallas, I don't know. 4 or 5 hours, why? Hold on.
Bree spots them.
Toby. Would you mind introducing me to your new friend?
They stare at Bree.
Taylor.
Yeah, this is Taylor.
It's nice to meet you, Taylor.
What's going on here? Come on. Your mother's waiting for you in the car. You better watch out he doesn't get some poor innocent girl in trouble.
You better watch out she doesn't end up ruining some poor innocent boy's life. You, go wait for me at the table.
He replaces the video game Gunley's been playing with.
Margaret, I really don't think I am cut out to be a mother.
Toby's at the table. He squeezes lemon into his cold drink, shakes the ice around, then takes a sip as Bree returns to the table. She sits down opposite him. Toby clasps his hands together, his fingers intertwined. Bree stares at him and shakes her head. She, too, clasps her hands and closes her eyes.
Dear God, bless this meal. And please help Toby to find the strength not to take any more drugs so that when we get to L.A., he can get a job and find a nice apartment so that even if he never finds his real father, he can lead an independent life. Amen.
Amen.
Toby stares at his food.
There's a really cool hat back there. It's only $10. I just think my nose is getting sunburned.
Eat your vegetables.
He eats with his fingers.
You might want to use a fork. Just an idea.
Toby picks up his fork.
I tell you what, you can have that hat on one condition. No more drugs. I mean it. Deal?
Toby holds out his hand.
Deal.
Bree shakes it. Wearing the hat, Toby's in the men's room sniffing coke. Bree's cleaning out the station wagon when Toby walks up. She stands up.
Got your present.
Thank you. I'm very touched.
Put it on.
She takes a big blue baseball cap from him and puts it on, emblazoned on the front, "I'm proud to be a Christian."
It looks good.
As they drive along, Toby leans out of the car.
You get back in here! Do you have any idea how dangerous that is? In!
Hey!
Get in!
Who's holding on?
You want to give me a heart attack?
Did I scare you?
She glares at him, then turns away. He grins, dimples showing on his cheeks. They continue along a country road.
Why are we going to Dallas?
An associate of mine has arranged a place for us to stay for the night.
They park in a suburban street and walk up a path.
This Mary Ellen woman's being very generous to offer us her hospitality, so I hope you will be on your best behavior.
I'm always on my best behavior. Mm.
A blonde woman opens her door, wine glass in hand.
Sabrina and Toby, right? I'm Mary Ellen. Come on in.
I'm having a little get-together, but you two just come on in and make yourselves at home.
Mary Helen, come here. Felicia's showing us her new vagina.
I'm sorry. They're feeling a little fasty. Everybody, this is Sabrina, and her handsome escort here is Toby.
Hi.
Hi, y'all.
Margaret said you were stealth.
I am in public, but this is the privacy of my own home. Welcome to the first meeting of the Gender Pride President's Day Weekend Caribbean Cruise Planning Committee.
Bree holds up our hands.
We have to go.
No.
Where do you guys know each other from?
We don't. She's a friend of a friend of a friend.
There's rum punch in the kitchen and guacamole in the dining room.
Come on in.
Yeah, don't be so uptight. It's a party.
Clutching Bree's vanity case, Toby joins the guest, one man and six women. Bree and Toby sit apart. Mary Ellen's with Bree.
Margaret told me you were planning to have your surgery, Sam.
Toby doesn't know about me.
You're stealth to him.
Little sugar dumpling.
Don't worry, honey. We've all been there. I'll pass the word.
Toby's with two of the women, another couple.
It was one of those instant best friend things.
But at the time, we were both straight men. What could you do with that?
We had our surgery on the same day.
We ended up holding hands in the recovery room.
And now this gorgeous creature is the love of my life.
Toby strolls up.
Oh, we were just telling your friend a little bit about the transsexual lifestyle.
Now what you're used to in church, huh?
Toby's with two others.
These are vaginal dilators. She just had her surgery last month.
This is Kiana 2, but this is Kiana 3.
Where's Kiana 1?
Kiana 1 is in Hollywood filming a major science fiction epic, and we don't want to hear a snarky remark about it.
Toby's with the man.
We're not gender challenged, we're gender gifted. I've been woman and I've been man, and I know more things than you single-sex people can even imagine.
Dude, I thought you were a real guy.
We walk among you.
Hard-faced woman.
Well, that poor thing couldn't pass on a dark night at 200 yards. In the pink?
You better check your T-Dar, honey. She's a GG.
What?
A genuine girl. From Mary Kay. If you let her do a color trial, she'll give you a free compact.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play
with each other.
Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Bree has left the party and gone upstairs. Toby comes into a room and walks over to the open vanity case. He stands in front of a mirror and unscrews the top of the nail varnish. He replaces the top. Bree's silk nightdress is hanging over the mirror. Toby takes it down and holds it against himself. He runs his hand over his stomach. Bree walks out of the bathroom in her underwear. She runs back in, hands over her crotch.
Sorry.
Bree opens the bathroom door slightly.
Could you hand me my robe, please? The pink satin. It's by the... Thank you.
Toby holds out the robe, which Bree grasps from him. Toby sits down on the bed as Bree steps out, tying the robe round her.
It's an unfortunate side effect of my pills. They're diuretic.
Gross.
A diuretic. It means you go number one, not number two. Listen, I'm sorry about those ersatz women.
What?
Ersatz, it means phony. Something pretending to be something it's not.
I thought they were nice. So all just the guys that work in the zoos, right?
Yes, among other places.
I never met my real dad. My mom never talked about him. I'm gonna go live with him, though. As soon as I get enough money, I can get some nice clothes and knock on his door, surprise him. Do your mom and dad live in California, too?
My parents are dead.
Do you like zoos?
I don't mind the modern ones, I guess. The animals may not be free, but they're safe.
Yeah. Me too. Night.
Good night.
A bright sunny day. The station wagon drives through some arid countryside on a long, straight road.
Did you go to college?
Yes.
What'd you study?
A lot of things. French, cultural anthropology, archaeology, psychology, art history.
Possum, biology.
80 million years ago, during the Cretaceous period, these plains were the floor of a huge inland sea.
Are we there yet?
Well, if you don't want to learn anything, then never mind.
All right, I'm listening.
It cut the entire continent in two. Dinosaurs lived on either side. Then, a huge meteor struck the Earth. Some people say that's why the dinosaurs went extinct, but why should the insects, birds, and mammals have survived?
Why?
I don't know, but it's always seemed a little bit fishy to me. Did you know they found giant shark remains in the middle of Kansas?
How big were they?
Big enough to swallow you without even chewing. Hump.
Toby raises a smile. They continue their drive through the sunburned countryside. The sun is setting over the hills. Bree turns to Toby.
Got you.
He did not.
Toby blows into the crook of his arm.
I got you.
She pushes his face.
Oh, you got me in the eye.
Did I hurt you?
Got you.
She hits him playfully.
Stop it.
Ow!
Seriously, watch the road.
You drive. I hope we pass a rest stop soon. My diuretic's kicking in.
It's dark when Toby pulls up on the roadside. They're still out in the country. He looks anxiously out of the car window.
Do rattlesnakes come out at night?
She turns to Toby, who shrugs his shoulders. Bree unfastens her seatbelt and opens the passenger door. Bree runs behind the station wagon, pulls up her skirt, pulls down the body stocking and squats, covering her knees with the skirt. Hitting the animal, Bree stands up, still peeing from her penis. In the car, Toby picks his nose and adjusts the rearview mirror as another vehicle drives past. He takes his hand from the mirror and freezes. He swallows as Bree returns to the station wagon.
Well, I must say that's a relief.
She notices his grim face.
Something wrong?
Without looking at Bree, Toby starts the engine and drives off. In an hotel room, Bree is reading a newspaper. In his bed, Toby, reading a magazine, reaches out for a cigarette. He lights it.
This is a no-smoking room.
Ignoring her, Toby keeps his eyes on the magazine and carries on smoking. Morning. They're on the move again.
New Mexico is the ufology capital of the world. Ufology from UFO, the study of unidentified flying objects. You know, social ostracism doesn't work in a community of two.
They drive past a hitchhiker.
Damn it, Toby, say something.
Want to go to Sammy's wigwam?
He sees a roadside advert for real Indian artifacts and souvenirs. At the stall, Sammy, a bearded man, watches them.
Here's some arrowheads. They're only $1 each.
Toby's looking at a tomahawk. To Sammy.
He's been acting like that all day.
Toby thumps the tomahawk on a display table.
Young man, if you don't start behaving in a civilized fashion, you and I are going to have a very serious problem.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you watch your mouth around your mother.
She is not my mother. She's not anyone's mother. She's not even a real woman. She's got a dick. Don't you? Don't you? Go on, tell him!
Sammy puts his sunglasses on and stares at Bree, who lowers her head and walks back to the car.
You're a fucking lying freak.
She ignores him. He drops the tomahawk and chases after her.
What do you want out of me?
Just because a person doesn't go around blabbing her entire biological history to everyone she meets doesn't make her a liar.
Why didn't you just tell me the truth?
So you could humiliate me in public even sooner.
You knew all about me.
She gets back in the car. She lowers the window.
Why did you bail me out of jail? What, you just walked into jail, asked them who needed help?
Bree turns her head away.
You want fuck you. I never even heard of a tranny church lady. Just drop me off in the next town.
Toby clambers into the back seat.
So you don't think I have the right to belong to a church?
She takes off her sunglasses.
My body may be a work in progress, but there is nothing wrong with my soul. Jesus made me this way for a reason, so I could suffer and be reborn the way he was.
So you're cutting your dick off for Jesus?
You don't cut it off. Just gonna have an innie instead of an outie.
Ew.
Hi, is there any chance that you could offer a fellow traveler a ride?
Absolutely. We love helping strangers.
While Bree shakes her head, Toby takes a straw hat from the hitchhiker they passed as he climbs into the back.
Beef jerky?
No thanks, I'm a level 4 vegan. I don't eat anything that casts a shadow.
A little token of my appreciation. Absolutely.
The hitchhiker hands Toby a pipe, which he lights. While Toby sputters, the hitchhiker lights up. Bree opens her window.
I'm sorry, but the secondary smoke might render me unfit to drive.
She's cool, right?
She's not a she, she's got a dick.
Toby!
For now, at least.
You're a guy?
Bree looks uncomfortable.
I'm a transsexual woman.
Wow. I think transsexuality is a radically evolved state of being.
Hey, look!
A lake surrounded by rocks.
Many societies throughout history have honored and revered transgendered people. The Zulu, the Yoruba, the Native Americans call us two-spirit people.
Two spirits. It's cool.
Tell them what they're gonna do with your dick.
Then the settlers came. They tended to murder us on sight.
The way the white man treated the Indian was very deeply fucked up.
Yeah.
Are you sure you won't join us?
Come on. You know what you got?
You boys go ahead. Have fun.
Sitting on a rock, Bree uses her hand as a blinker while the youths strip naked. She half turns as they jog into the water. Later, they swim in front of her.
So what do you do when you're not following the open road?
I'm a peyote shaman.
How do you do that?
The hitchhiker climbs out.
It involves consuming majestic amounts of peyote. Are you done throwing up? You see things.
The long blonde-haired youth jumps back in.
What things?
Once, I saw my own death.
Do you by any chance drown in a desert lake?
No. I die in a depressurization accident on a moon colony. I'll show you something. It's in my bag.
Oh. The guy swims off. Toby, leaning on a log, ducks underwater, then resurfaces and floats in front of Bree.
Do you still think what you said back at Sammy's wigwam?
What?
That I'm a freak?
Toby wipes his nose and looks up.
You're not a freak. You're just a liar.
He ducks back underwater. The hitchhiker gathers up his clothes and runs into the car. The monkey falls out.
Oh, shit!
My purse! My hormones are dirty, motherfucking at me!
Toby's still in the water.
My dog book was in that car.
Oh.
Bree sits down. They're walking on the road.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
A pickup truck approaches.
My surgery.
It drives past Toby's outstretched arm.
I have to be in L.A. in 2 days. What are we going to do?
Toby reaches into his pocket and takes out a sachet of drugs.
Is it soothing?
I could sell it.
How much could you get?
He turns round as a big pickup drives up. Toby holds out his thumb and the truck stops.
Oh, sweet. Come on, let's go.
Toby, clutching the monkey, runs off, followed by a prancing Bree. They sit on the back of the truck with workers in shirts and hats. The wind blows Bree's hair and she ties it with a scarf, covering part of her face as well.
So infeliz.
Toby leads Bree into a restaurant at a rest stop. The scarf is still over Bree's head. Toby hands her the monkey, tousles his hair, and stares at a guy with graying hair and beard as he passes him. The guy follows him with his eyes. In the ladies, Bree sees her rough features in the mirror. Bree combs her hair with her hands and rubs her cheek. In the men's room, Toby is watching when the graying guy walks in. They stand side by side at the basins. Toby smiles. Her hair pulled back and looking cleaner and fresher, Bree walks back into the restaurant. She takes a seat at the bar. Still holding the monkey, she notices a tip left on the counter. Her hand starts to sneak towards the money. A guy down the bar looks up. Bree snaffles a leftover French fry from the plate beside the tip.
You having a tough day?
Bree tries a smile and nods. Toby clambers into the cab of a truck with the graying guy who has a ponytail. They slip into the back seat, and the guy closes a curtain.
I don't care about the car. I just need to get to Los Angeles as quickly as possible.
Well, I'm driving a couple of good ponies over to the Sale and Sholo in the morning. Could give you a ride that far.
Bree sips a glass of iced water.
Hey, Woodrow, can I get a burger for the young lady here?
Yep.
Bree smiles at the 50-something man beside her and places her hand on her cheek. In the cab of the truck, Toby is bare-chested. The guy unzips Toby's jeans and hauls them under his briefs down. The guy lies back. Toby allows his head to be pushed down to the older man's crotch.
Isn't Calvin an unusual name for a Native American?
Well, not really. My brother's names are Dwight, Lloyd, Daryl, and Woodrow.
What's your last name?
Many Goats. It's my mother's clan name.
Oh, matrilineal kinship system. Is there a Mrs. Many Goats?
Oh, no, not yet. I guess the right woman hasn't met me.
A sweating Toby is beside them.
There you are. Calvin, I'd like you to meet Toby. Toby, this is Calvin Many Goats.
How you doing, son?
I saved you half a hamburger. Calvin's offered us a place to stay tonight and a ride in the morning. Isn't that generous of him?
Yes.
Toby nods his head.
Excuse me, just a minute.
She rises. She walks over to join Toby, who hands her some money.
You already found a buyer?
He looks doe-eyed at her.
Well, at least now you don't have any more of that damn drug.
She gives him a hug.
Shower.
They rejoin Calvin.
So, Calvin, have you spent all your life in New Mexico?
Not yet.
Oh.
She turns to the unsmiling Toby, who pecks at the food. Calvin's pickup arrives at a homestead.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's home.
Toby's lying on his back, fast asleep. He's on the floor of Bree's room. Awake, she gets out of bed and wraps a huge cardigan round her. Toby wakes and watches her go. She joins Calvin outside. He's strumming on a guitar.
Hi.
He holds up a bottle as she walks out to him and sits down beside him.
It's mezcal.
Oh.
A friend of mine brings it up from Oaxaca every year.
She takes a swig.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Sounds of the rude world heard in the day, lulled by the moonlight, have all passed away. Beautiful dreamer, queen of my song, list while I woo thee with soft melody. Gone are the cares of life's busy throng. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me.
You can sing.
Oh, just enough to keep the dogs off the back porch, that's all.
Toby's listening.
Have some more.
He offers her the bottle.
Thank you.
She swigs another mouthful.
I'll put hair on your chest.
Oh, hope not.
She clasps her hands as if in prayer, then gazes at Calvin. Bree sits back in her chair. Morning. In brilliant sunshine, Calvin leads a horse past some cows towards a battered old horse box. Bree stands watching as Toby strides up.
Morning, sleepyhead. Guess what? Calvin's going to drive us all the way to Phoenix.
Toby strokes her horse's head.
Do my breasts seem smaller to you? I've missed two doses of my pills. You play with the body's hormonal balance and you're playing with fire. Playing with fire. Playing with fire.
Calvin touches the brim of his hat. Toby watches Bree wave coquettishly back. On the open road...
When you wear your cowboy hat, if you wear it forward like that, that means you're looking for trouble. If you wear it back like that, it means you're not looking for trouble. If you wear it off to the side, that means you're out to impress the ladies.
How come an Indian wears a cowboy hat?
Well, I guess because it keeps the sun out of my eyes better than a headband and a couple eagle feathers.
Calvin was telling me that his people are Navajo.
No, only part Navajo. My great-great-great-great-grandfather was Zuni.
Calvin looks at Toby.
Look at that Cherokee look about you. Proud people in Cherokee.
Gazing out of the window, Toby touches his cheek with his forefinger. Calvin stops the truck in the middle of nowhere by a metal fence. He gets out and stretches his back. The three of them sit on the pickup trailer. Calvin takes a beer from a cooler, but kicks it shut as Toby stretches for one.
You're too young.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Here, drink some water.
Calvin smiles at her.
Now, if you gentlemen will excuse me, I have to use the powder room.
Oh.
Calvin hands her a toilet roll.
Here.
Thank you.
Now me.
Thank you.
Calvin holds her hand as she clambers out of the trailer. He watches her walk away.
Dude, there's things about her she's not telling you.
Well, every woman has a right to a little mystery, dude.
You know, she's a Jesus freak. She's probably waiting to convert you.
She can convert me anytime she wants to.
Calvin sees Bree disappear behind a dune. The pickup and horse box drive downhill and round a sharp bend. They drive past houses and pull up outside a large house surrounded by bushes and trees.
Well, I wish I could drive you all the way to Los Angeles.
So do I.
Toby reaches for the door.
Here, let me get that for you.
It's all right.
No, it doesn't work for me.
Toby slouches back.
Sticks a bit.
Thank you.
Calvin helps Bree down.
Bree, there's some things about me that you don't know, some things about my past.
We all have our secrets.
Toby skulks off.
I've been in jail more than once. I'm about blind in one eye, and I got a half a pound of shrapnel in my left leg. But if you're ever in New Mexico, I'd really like it if you give me a call.
A slip of paper.
Thank you, Calvin. I'll do that.
Let's go.
Toby looks petulant.
Come here.
Holding the monkey, Toby saunters back to the pickup. Calvin takes a hat from a trunk.
This used to belong to a real good friend of mine. He was a champion in the All-Indian Rodeo Circuit. Now he looked like a warrior. Ma'am?
Toby touches the black hat on his head as Calvin goes. Toby and Bree stop on the path. She turns as Calvin drives off with the horse box in tow.
Where are we?
My parents' house.
I thought you said your parents were dead.
Wishful thinking.
They walk towards the door.
Who's Sydney?
My baby sister.
Bree stands out of sight as Toby stands at the door. A silver blonde 60-something opens the inner door.
May I help you?
Is Sydney here?
Sydney's out. May I tell her who called?
I don't think so.
Arms folded, the scruffy-looking Toby strides down the path. Bree's mother, clutching a poodle, shuts the door. Bree scuttles after Toby. He lies in the shade of a tree. She's sitting beside him.
Don't look at me that way.
I'm not looking at you.
All right, all right. Shit. I mean, darn. No, I mean shit.
Bree goes to the front door. It's opened by a round-faced man.
May I help you, young lady?
Dad, it's me.
Bree's mother pulls the door open, gasps, and shuts the door.
Mom! Dad! Mom!
The door opens.
Get in here before the neighbors see you.
Her mother scans outside. Inside.
Jesus Christ, I can't even recognize you.
It's me. Only different.
So you've done it. It's all over.
I don't think that's any of your business.
Her mom grabs Bree's crotch.
Mom! Oh, my God, Murray. He's still a boy.
Bree places her mother's hand on her left breast. Her mother recoils.
Oh, Stanley, I can't look at you like this.
Jeez, why do you always upset her like that?
I tell you what, I'm just going to get something to eat and drink. And then I'll go back and wait for Sydney outside.
Bree walks away. Her father, Murray, takes off his straw hat, wipes his bald head, and follows her into the kitchen.
Are you sure you're all right, Stan?
Fabulous. Never been better.
Stan.
Bree. Sabrina Claire Osborne.
Look, we're going to need more time with that. Your mother and I both love you,
but we don't respect you. I'll never understand why you're doing this to me.
I'm not doing anything to you. I'm gender dysphoric. It's a genetic condition.
Don't try to blame your father and me for this. You shouldn't use so much mayonnaise. Are you trying to give yourself a heart attack?
Elizabeth hands Murray her poodle.
Let me do that.
Make sandwiches.
You know what I see when I look at you? I see a lost soul crying out for help. This would never have happened if you had only come to church when you were little instead of going off to that synagogue of your father's.
Mom? Dad? There's this sort of scruffy-looking kid outside.
The blonde spots Bree.
Holy shit.
Language, Sydney.
I don't fucking believe it. Stanley.
Bree.
Sydney puckers her lips.
Bree. Well, Bree, I was hoping you'd show up one of these days, take some of the heat off me.
It's nice to see you, too.
If that kid out there's your boyfriend, I'm gonna slit my wrists.
I need to talk to you in private.
Oh, my God, he is! You lucky son of a... I mean, you lucky bitch.
Your boyfriend? The filthy teenage juvenile delinquent who came to the door?
He happens to be a clean, healthy, and respectable young man.
I don't want to hear any more about it. How old is he?
17.
Oh, my God, Murray, he's underage.
Mom, he's my son.
They all stare at Bree.
You're shitting me.
Remember Emma Wilkins?
Well, what are you saying?
Is Emma here, too?
She killed herself.
Jesus. Can a horror.
Are you trying to tell me that that boy who came to the door...
He's your grandson.
Elizabeth takes her hand to her chest.
My grandson. Oh, dear God.
He doesn't know anything, and I don't want him to.
Elizabeth turns and runs from the kitchen. Bree chases after her.
Call me Grandpa.
Toby is lying asleep in the shade of the tree.
Oh, you poor thing. Get up off that filthy ground. Get up. There could be all sorts of awful things down there. Oh, look at you. What a handsome boy.
He draws back from her.
Do you know who I am? I'm your...
Bree's mother doesn't know about me. Do you understand? And I don't want him to know about me. Agree with me? You're not going to say anything?
Sydney's outside.
Hi there. I'm Sydney.
Hey. Toby.
What do you say?
Toby, come on inside where there's nice air conditioning. Come on, honey, and I'll make you a nice plate of food.
Inside, Elizabeth watches Toby eat.
Defrosted to perfection.
Finish your vegetables.
He doesn't like broccoli.
Elizabeth lifts a forkful.
Open up.
Toby opens his mouth and eats some.
Lucky no!
The dog's licking itself.
The dog is a sex maniac. Just like your father.
At least he gets more action than I do.
My mom used to live in Phoenix before I was born.
Really? What a coincidence.
What'd your name used to be when you were a guy?
Honey, why don't you go and watch TV in the spare bedroom?
You can take the dog.
Toby rises from the table and leaves.
Come here, boy.
The dog follows him out.
Stanley, what are you planning to do with that poor boy?
Well, first of all, I'm going to make sure he knows that he's encouraged and supported. And that he's respected. Maybe even... well, at least that he's respected.
Elizabeth narrows her eyes and tilts her head to one side. Bree's looking at dresses.
Behold the return of the prodigal son.
Can we try to be nice to each other, please?
This is so bizarre. I can still see Stanley in you, but it's like you put yourself through a strainer and got rid of all the boy pulp.
Bree holds a dress up in front of herself.
Planning a game of bridge with the girls?
Bree lowers the dress and looks into the closet.
Can I borrow $1,000?
You've got to be kidding.
$500? $250?
Do I hear a dollar and a half? I have to account for every penny. 18 months sober and they're still scared shitless I'm going to relapse and wind up passed out on the floor in some dive down on Van Buren. God, those were the days.
My surgery's day after tomorrow. I need airfare to get home.
Bree sighs and her head droops.
You know, growing up, I always thought you were the lucky one. Try this one.
Oh, my God.
That'll be like a showgirl's ice-capades.
I'm a transsexual, not a transvestite.
Yeah, but it will really freak Mom out.
Now you've lost all credibility.
In the bathroom, Bree stops creaming her face. She opens a medicine cabinet and takes out a bottle of pills. She reads the label, Primarin, opens the top, and pops a few. She pours several onto a tissue and replaces the bottle. She tucks the tissue inside her bra and resumes her facial. In the living room, Toby's fiddling with a penguin ornament.
Toby, don't break that, honey. It's very expensive.
Murray brings her a drink.
Murray, I just hate the way you had Lucky's tail clipped. Stand straight up like that, just like a penis.
Black and hairy.
Well, it does.
Not like any penis I've ever seen.
Me neither.
Toby, come over here and let me fix your hair. Come on. Come on, honey.
She sets the dog down.
Stay. Sit. Oh, you have such nice, thick hair. Just like mine. And those clothes are a great improvement.
They fit good, huh?
They fit well.
Grammar police.
Good evening.
Bree glides in, wearing a flowing pink dress belted at the waist with a pink sash. It has a high collar with a vertical slash.
That dress looks perfectly ridiculous.
Bree juts her chin forward, walks down the two steps into the living room and sits down. There's a bow in her hair and her face is made up. Sydney gasps. Bree turns to Toby.
You're looking very handsome.
You look good too.
Beauty is relative. For God's sake, Mom! Oh, don't pick on me. Not tonight. I can't take it.
In a plush restaurant, the whole family is shown to a table. Elizabeth and Sydney lead the way. Toby's with Murray.
There's going to be plenty of pornography on the toilet, and ever since, I have shitty sex.
Elizabeth stares sternly.
You get it?
Sydney, Murray and Toby sit. Elizabeth remains standing. She glares at Bree, who shakes her head, then walks behind her mother's chair to allow her to sit. As Bree goes to sit next to her...
Toby, come and sit here next to me. Here, take a picture.
Bree takes a camera.
Murray, scoot over. Come on, honey, right here. That's right, Toby, honey. Lean in close, honey. Lean in. All right, everybody. 1, 2, 3.
Sydney leans towards another table.
We all look much happier than we really are.
Can you take one of the two of us?
I'll take it.
Bree hands over the camera. Toby drapes his arm round Bree's shoulder. Bree moves awkwardly round Toby, who steps back and hauls out the chair for her. Bree smiles. The woman at the next table.
Nice to see a young man being so polite to his mother. It's not his mother.
Bree starts to read the menu. The waiter brings Toby his meal.
And a hamburger for the young gentleman. Enjoy your meal.
Toby clasps his hands in front of him. Elizabeth notices. Toby glances at Bree, who shakes her head.
Toby, do you want to say grace? Go ahead, honey. Don't be shy.
Elizabeth places her hands together. Murray puts his hand on his head and Sydney's eyes boggle. Toby gulps.
God bless this restaurant and these thy gifts that we are about to receive forever and ever.
And thank you, Lord, for bringing Toby to us. And please let us all stay together in health and spirits. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Shalom, Israel.
Murray sputters into his napkin and finds a toothpick. Elizabeth turns to Toby.
Oh, Toby, honey, don't take the lettuce out of your hamburger. It's good for you. Sydney, don't play with your food.
Sieg Heil.
Elizabeth grimaces as she twiddles her fork over her food. Bree takes a sip of water.
Can I borrow $1,000?
Oh, Toby, your hamburger's almost raw. Let me send that back.
I can pay it back with interest.
What do you need the money for?
To get back to Los Angeles.
Look at your life. You've never been able to stick to a decision. I mean, 10 years of college and not a single degree. How do you know you won't change your mind about this, too?
Bree shrugs her shoulders and fixes a smile.
Because I know.
Elizabeth's face quivers.
Don't do this awful thing to yourself, please. I miss my son.
Mom, you never had a son. Now you know how I felt when you hired those private detectives.
We only tried to do the best for you.
Is that why you tried to have me committed?
You tried to kill yourself!
Because you tried to have me committed.
I don't know why you have to be so emotional.
I am not emotional! God, my cycle's all out of whack.
You don't have cycles!
Bree stares at her mother.
Hormones are hormones. Yours and mine just happen to come in little purple pills.
To a waiter...
Young man, may we get some doggy bags here, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to finish cooking his hamburger at home. Murray, give me your wallet.
They're back at the house. The family troop in single file behind Elizabeth. She takes the wallet.
His $200, we'll get the rest out of the safe.
Elizabeth keeps it from Bree.
As one condition. I want Toby to stay here with me. Wouldn't you like that, honey? You could have your own little apartment. We'll remodel the guest house. Do you like to play tennis? We have 8 new courts at the country club. Murray and I just feel that you need a stable, loving family with the means to give you every chance that you deserve.
Toby looks bemused. He swims in a pool in the garden. Soft outdoor lights illuminate the poolside. Elizabeth runs out and picks up an inflatable dolphin.
Baby.
She hands it to him in the water. He leaps on top of the dolphin. Bree watches from a window, the water reflecting on her tired face. Later, she joins Toby, who's lying on a lounger.
Half Italian villa, half country club.
She settles down on the empty lounger beside him.
Beauty is relative.
Not my relatives. I wish just once they'd look at me and see me. That's all. Just really seeing me.
Why are they being so nice to me?
Bree shakes her head.
You think I ought to stay here?
Do you want to?
It's pretty nice.
I think you ought to do whatever you think is best for you. But if you want, you can come and live with me. I can't give you anything like this, but I'm sure we could manage something.
Did you really try to kill yourself?
I swallowed half a bottle of Nebutol. Then I panicked and called 911.
Maybe you're not the suicidal type.
Maybe. Unless my mother is right, and I just can't stick to a decision.
Bree purses her lips. Toby, his arms folded, turns his head away. Later, Bree's in bed, reading.
Come in.
Toby, in a bathrobe, comes into her room.
Can't you sleep?
Not really.
Do you need something? A glass of milk?
No.
What is it?
She wraps her gown tightly.
I must look awful.
Look good.
Toby sits down on the edge of her bed. He reaches out his hand.
You look well.
Toby takes her hand in his. She smiles and leans towards the teenager.
Don't worry.
He kisses her on the lips.
What are you doing?
What I'm good at.
Toby slips the robe off his shoulders.
No.
It's okay. I want to. You like it, I promise.
I don't want to like it. I don't want it at all.
Okay.
Toby turns away, his bare back to her.
I'll marry you if you want. I don't care how big your place is. I just want to be with you. I think you're sexy, Bree. It's like I see you.
Oh, God.
Toby stands and lets the robe drop to the floor. He moves towards the bed.
Oh, no. Put your clothes on. I mean it right now. Stop it.
What's the matter?
Would you please just cover yourself up?
Toby grabs the robe and slips it round his waist like a towel. He sits on the bed.
I'm such a total shit.
No, you're not.
There's something I should have told you a long time ago. You're going to hate me. I'm not really... exactly... affiliated with the church.
I already figured that out.
She shows him the album she's been looking at and points at a photograph.
What? My mom and dad.
It's your mom.
She points to his dad.
And me.
Toby's eyes are fixed on the photo.
Toby. I'm so sorry. I know I shouldn't have lied to you. I know how disappointed you must be. A one-bedroom apartment instead of a mansion. Half Jewish instead of half Indian. Toby.
He gets up off the bed.
Toby. Why don't we look on the bright side? We've gotten to know each other. Our strengths and weaknesses. And we're still good friends, aren't we? I'm so sorry. I truly, really, I didn't mean to hurt you. My mother's probably right. I'm a terrible influence. Oh, please. This is a terrible time for me. I should be... Toby, wait! Oh!
You are not my father.
Oh, my God. Oh, honey.
There, no. There. Oh. There. He didn't mean it, honey. He's just a little bit upset. There, no. There.
Sydney watches as her mother comforts Bree, hugging her close. Toby's in his room, his head buried in his hands. Morning. Sprinklers water the lawn. Sydney and Elizabeth rush into Bree in the bathroom.
Toby's gone.
He took my purse and my bucking bronco statue.
Her powder compact in hand, Bree looks at her mother and sister, then turns to the mirror. Elizabeth looks sympathetic.
What do you want to do, Stan?
Bree.
She's outside with a police officer.
He's 17, but you don't know his date of birth? What's your relationship to the missing boy?
I am his father. Can't you put out an APB or something?
We'll do our best. I'm sorry to say this, but chances are if he doesn't want to be found, he's going to stay lost.
Bree looks across the street at her somber-looking family, blinks and shakes her head. Murray opens the door of a Super Shuttle minibus. Sydney kisses Bree on the cheek, as does Murray, as she climbs aboard. They both wave as the minibus moves off. Elizabeth stands beside them, her face grave.
It's okay, you don't have to be afraid.
Bree walks along a corridor.
There's nothing to worry about, 'cause we got it made.
A bag's over her shoulder and she carries a case.
It's just a simple matter of letting me into your love. If you let that feeling come over you, then there's nothing more that you can do. Just let it go. Let it go.
In an office are Margaret and a doctor. Bree is wheeled on a gurney.
If it's love you want, hold out your arms. It's all right here, it's safe and warm.
Bree lies in a bed in a ward. A nurse checks her drip.
It's okay to feel good.
Everything is fine. The surgery was a complete success. Be.
Everything we have is fresh and new.
Bree's hand moves over the blankets to rest on her crotch. Then her arm slips down to her side, and she closes her eyes. A bright sunny day, Bree eases herself upright, stiffly. She grabs hold of the stand holding her drip and starts to walk towards the door where Margaret is standing, watching her.
Hello, my lady. How are you feeling? And don't say like a new woman.
I feel like a medieval heretic impaled on a very large and very thick steak with splinters.
Bree sits back on the bed.
Nice hat.
The cap Toby bought Bree.
It's a present.
Bree lowers her head.
Bree, why do I get the feeling that there's something not quite right? Last week you said this was going to be the happiest day of your life.
Last week was a long time ago.
Margaret sits down beside Bree on the bed.
Talk to me.
Bree looks at Margaret, then turns away. Bree screws up her face and holds up the hat.
I fucked up.
Margaret strokes Bree's shoulder, and Bree sobs.
It hurts.
Oh, my sweetie. Oh. That's what hearts do.
Saliva drools from Bree's mouth as she weeps. Bree rests her forehead against Margaret's.
I'm sorry.
Oh, let it out. This is good. This is good.
A couple in wetsuits stroll along a beach carrying surfboards. Toby sits on a log and watches them pass behind him. A little way off, another couple walk towards the incoming waves, then retreat from them. Toby rubs some coke onto his gums, then tosses the sachet away. His face looks somber and his brow furrows slightly. The breeze blows his hair and he watches gulls in flight. Bree is lying on her back in her bath. She looks down, then places her left hand between her legs. At Pappy's kitchen, which serves Latin, Caribbean, Mexican and seafood, a young girl is wearing the yellow washing-up marigolds. A sign in the window reads, Feliz Navidad. Bree is a waitress. She collects plates from a table and takes them to the kitchen, nodding to a customer as she passes. The chef turns to her.
Amo la comida mexicana.
Amo la comida mexicana.
Y amo a Fernando.
Amo la comida mexicana.
A young man approaches a blonde Toby.
School's going to be closing in about 15 minutes.
Wayne, this is really hard. Do you think you could give me a hand?
Sure. What subject?
Sex education.
Wayne strips off his sweater. The two teenagers embrace.
All right, cut. Lucky needs help again. Let's go, let's go.
The film director approaches Toby.
Did you take your Viagra?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, when's the last time you came?
Like 2 hours ago.
Christ, kid, you've got to focus, okay? Can you focus? We're behind schedule. We've got to move.
A guy's head is buried in Toby's crotch.
Ow.
Toby stands tensely with his arms folded. Bree's sitting on her sofa at home working. She lays down her pen and goes to the door. She opens it to the blonde Toby.
Toby, don't think that I'm fucking forgiving you, because I'm not.
Bree nods her head.
All right.
She opens the screen.
I just came over to see if you did it.
Did what?
Got your dick turned inside out.
Yes. Won't you come in? Just for a little while. I have something for you.
What?
Please.
Bree nods her head to one side. Toby, his features set and his arms folded, steps in, and she steps aside to let him pass. With a half smile, Bree shuts the screen and the door.
Your parents' house is a lot nicer.
My parents' house comes with my parents.
Toby spots a miniature Christmas tree.
I thought you said we were Jewish.
Half Jewish. Through my father, so it's technically the wrong half, and you're only a quarter. The wrong quarter. I'm gonna finish up my degree. I thought I'd take up teaching. Maybe rent a house someplace. Someplace with a yard.
What have you got for me?
Hang on a minute. I've missed you. Have a seat.
Bree herself sits down.
So how have you been?
I've been all right.
Toby takes a cigarette from a pack and lights it. Bree gets an ashtray.
Would you care to divulge a few more details?
I'm making a movie.
You are.
I told you I could. They're already doing the advertisement for it here.
He hands her a scrunched-up flyer, which Bree unfolds. It depicts naked male torsos and backsides.
Cowabungo.
That's Dylan Reeves. He's a big star.
Ah. And there's you. It's a very nice picture. I like your hair.
If you want, I could get you a discount when it comes out.
Thank you. That's very considerate.
She hands the flyer back to him, and he stuffs it in his pocket.
I got these clothes at the Beverly Center. Beverly Hills.
Bree goes into her bedroom and comes out carrying the hat Calvin gave Toby. He takes it from her and examines it.
Would you like a Coke?
He looks up at her.
Take a beer.
All right.
Toby sticks the hat on his head, tucks a strand of hair under it, and settles back. Bree stops in the doorway.
Young man,
If you think you can put your dirty tennis shoes on my brand new coffee table, you're going to have to think again.
Without looking at her, Toby swallows, then takes his feet off the table. Bree smiles. Bree returns with two bottles of beer. She hands him one and joins him on the sofa. Toby has difficulty opening his bottle, so she takes it from him and hands him hers. They open their bottles, then sip their beers. IDFC audio description by James O'Hara.